This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We can talk about what he did wrong, but I'd prefer to talk about what he did right. He was, as I said earlier, I think the right person at the right time. We made the determination that going forward that, right after the World Series, I think it became clear to me that perhaps we weren't going to be on the same wavelength going forward. But I was hopeful throughout the year that maybe that perception would change. And it didn't.
That's Red Sox owner John Henry over at Fenway Park just a short time ago talking about the decision-making process in firing Dave Dombrowski, who was dismissed as head of baseball operations, I guess, what was that, 3 weeks ago, over at Fenway Park. And Red Sox owners, as we told you last night, John Henry and Tom Werner met with selected members of the media over at Fenway Park tonight. There were no television cameras, which is kind of weird. So, like, I wonder if someone asked that question. To me, that's, how come there were no TV cameras here? I'd be eager to find out why the Red Sox opted to go that route.
So, Tony, at the beginning of the press conference, at the get-together, Tom Werner mentioned that he wanted this to be a very informal discussion.
Okay. So, I mean, I suppose that, you invite television cameras in, some of them go live, it becomes a little bit of a press conference and circus atmosphere. Maybe that's what they wanted to do. I don't know. It still seems weird to me, but whatever. At the end of the day, all I care about is the information that comes out of there. So here's what we're going to do tonight on the Baseball Reporters. And this is the final show of the year. After this, Adam Jones will start again at 6 o'clock. Bruins and Celtics programming begins soon. So this is not a show that typically goes on during the winter. We will come to you in podcast form during the off season, and I'm not sure how frequently that'll be, but we'll update you as we go. We will have guests. We'll talk about different things that are ongoing, and we'll give you all the baseball you want in podcast form here at 98.5. In the interim, the big takeaways from this press conference today are the following. One, the Red Sox had a pretty good idea after the World Series that they were going to clash with Dombrowski this year philosophically. We'll play that Henry cut for you in a minute. Two, the payroll is coming down. The payroll, the Red Sox want to get it under $208 million, which is where the first luxury tax threshold is. You don't have to be happy about that, but you shouldn't be surprised by it. This is how they've operated really for their whole existence here, in that every third year or so, they reset that luxury tax and get back under the threshold. This is the year they're going to do it. Doing it will be a challenge. We'll get to some of the particulars there in a minute. But based on my math, there is zero chance that Mookie and JD will both be back. One of them, maybe. Both, no shot. Okay, no shot. That's my read on the pay. Unless price is moved or sale is moved. But the point is, there's a big contract going out the door. Okay, now JD Martinez can opt out, so that wouldn't be a trade, but there's a big contract going out the door. Thirdly, and perhaps just as significantly as the other two, you can put whatever emphasis on them that you want. The Red Sox next GM will come from outside the organization. They are not going to hire an internal candidate, and they want someone with experience. So those are the three big takeaways. Here's what I want to do in the first segment. I want to play you as much sound as we can from the media gathering over at Fenway. I'm reluctant to call it a press conference, but whatever. And then we'll sort of pick our way through it and give you our thoughts. And, we'll get the bullcrap meter going to assess whether we really believe what they're saying or what they don't. But, Jimmy, you just played what I think is Henry 4, That was Henry Four. He expounded on the Dombrowski decision and, again, gives you a little bit more of a timeline in the next cut, which is Henry Five. Jimmy, go ahead.
What changed quickly was right after the World Series, we had preliminary talks about our way forward, and it was clear to me that we weren't on the same page at that point. In fact, he and I talked about it that night, that Sunday evening, and I think he disagreed with me about that, that we disagreed. He disagreed. We're even disagreeing, you might say, that we disagreed. So there was a difference, I think, in how we thought we should move forward.
Okay, so now I'm a little confused by one piece of that answer, which is we even disagreed that we disagreed. Like, I don't understand what he's talking about. How could you possibly disagree that you disagree?
That's a word salad. He's just trying to handle this with kid gloves because he don't want to look like the bad guy.
So, Tony, if they disagreed the day after the World Series, how does Nathan Eovaldi get signed for $17 million and this Chris Sale extension go through?
So, Jimmy,
that's inexcusable to me.
Listen, Jimmy, I agree with
that. Fire the owner.
I think it's a good point. It's a good point. They disagreed immediately after the World Series.
So why pay Steve Pierce, too?
So, Murray, it's interesting that you bring that up, right? Because if you remember, when the Red Sox were in London, that's when that story came out of Henry talking to, I think it was Rob Bradford of WEEI, where Henry said, you know, this is the second time we brought back the roster as is after winning the World Series, and I'm not sure that's the best approach. So I'm guessing here, but it feels to me like they had a discussion after the World Series. Dombrowski said, we got a great team. Let's keep it together. Henry said, we got to start building the farm system, and they disagreed. My guess is that Dombrowski, being Dombrowski, said, well, no, I want to do that, but I still want to keep the other guys because Dombrowski's a politician and will tell you whatever you want to hear. The bottom line is the Red Sox wanted to start rebuilding the farm system, and Dave Dombrowski didn't want to do that. Okay, that's the bottom line. Now, the mumbo jumbo and the word salad, as you put it, Murray, I'm with you. We're just going to have to work with what we have, though. So, again, I have no problem with Dombrowski going. But I do think also that, like, the approach that the Red Sox taking is wrong. And so, Jimmy, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Werner, number one, if you would. And Tom Werner was there as well. This is talking about Dombrowski and sort of the bigger philosophy as it relates to general managers.
We're enormously grateful for everything that Dave did to bring us the World Series and the three division championships. He was the right leader for us for baseball operations then, but moving forward, we just thought that in order to be successful the next 5 years, we needed to improve in a number of different areas, and he was, as I said, the right man for the time, and moving forward, we're going in a different direction.
So look, again, in some ways, I think Henry's smoother than Werner is. What Werner wanted to say there is at the time he was the right guy, we're going a different direction. He is not the right guy anymore.
Why can't they say it?
That's what he wanted to say. He wanted to say not the right guy, and then he caught himself because it comes off as a criticism of Dombrowski. So, again, now my question on this point would be, okay, so are we now treating the GM like the number four starter? Like we're going to sign a guy for 3 years, and then when his time's up, we need something else, we're going to sign another guy? Is that what the GM's going to be? Like, and again,
that's how it's felt.
So now this is, remember, they're going to have four GMs here in basically eight years. Four GMs in 8 years. Theo's at the end of 11. They're going to have a new guy in 19. In between, there were Dombrowski and Cherington. That's four GMs in 8 years. That can't happen in a good organization. So I would hope that someone said there today, and again, it's always easy when I'm sitting here in my safe little tower here asking questions that and criticizing people who didn't ask them. But did anyone say, do you have any concerns about turning the GM position into a job where you're hiring a new guy every three years? What about the perception of what the Red Sox are from outside the organization, people looking and thinking you're in a state of chaos? What about that? Does that worry you? So again, all of this sound came in within the last half hour. So we're sort of doing this on the fly, and we're trying to do the best we can. But It's hard to know what questions were asked and what weren't. But this idea of, well, when we hired Dombrowski, he was the right guy. Now he's not. Okay. So if you need a second baseman, you hire a second baseman. But in 3 years, you need something else and you're going to get rid of him? Like, is that what this is now? You're just going to play a shell game or musical chairs with the GM job? I think that's a bad approach. The GM position needs to be stable. As for the payroll, Jimmy, I think this is Henry number six, right? On the payroll rolling back, the Red Sox have said, and they've been at about $240, $245 million the last couple of years. They now want to get under $208 to get them out of the luxury tax. This will save them some significant penalties, and again, I'm not surprised. You shouldn't be either, but it doesn't mean you have to be happy about it. Here's Henry on the payroll.
And do you plan to roll the payroll backward?
This year, we need to be under the CBT. That was something we've known for more than a year now.
Okay, again, so for more than a year, we've known we need to be under the CBT this year. The CBT is the collective bargaining tax, also known as the luxury tax. That number is $208 million. Now, you're going to say, well, wait a minute. I've heard over the last couple of years, the number's like $248. That's a higher threshold. You start paying the tax at $208, at least in 2020. The Red Sox don't want to pay any tax next year. So they got to get under $208. With their existing roster, and that means Mookie's still here, J.D. Martinez opting in, and you've already cut off Porcello, Sandoval, Pierce, Moreland. I think Eduardo Nunez is on that list. You've already cut off all those guys. You're at about $220. You've got to cut off another $12 million, at least. That'll get you to $208. Ideally, by the time the season starts, you want to be around $200. Okay, so the Red Sox have to cut somewhere between, call it $20 and $25 million in payroll from the team they have coming back to get to the number they want. That means that, in all probability, J.D. Martinez is gone or Mookie Betts is gone or both. Both. Because they may need one or two starters, a first baseman, a second baseman, one or two relievers on top of it all. Those are a lot of holes for a team that doesn't have a lot of flexibility and no minor league system. So those are the preliminary thoughts and the preliminary news or the biggest bits of news that have come out of the press gathering over at Fenway. We've played some of the sound for you. We'll play more. We want your calls and all of the above. And we'll talk about where the Red Sox are headed here as they enter what is an extremely important winter here for them, one of the more important ones than they've had in some time. Your calls when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show the Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We've had stated publicly that we would hope that he would stay with us for the rest of his career. We have made proposals to him in the past, and he did want a test-free agency, which is his right. And we'll have some conversations with him going forward, but obviously, you know, there'll be a point where hopefully we can make a deal or we'll decide at that point, you know, what is plan B or plan C. But we haven't gotten to that point, and we're very open to continuing the discussions with him.
It's Tom Werner talking about Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts. Now, again, unfortunately, he didn't say Betts' name in that cut. And he wouldn't also say what I think is the most apparent thing. He says plan B or plan C. We may get to a point where we'll try to sign him or we'll go to plan B or plan C, which means trade him. Trade him. So again, there's got to be some PR thing about saying the terms or saying the word. Don't say the word. How about, look, we're going to take another shot with Mookie. We don't know when that's going to be exactly. We're going to try to do it. If it doesn't work, we may have no choice but to explore dealing him. Period. End of story. Clean, concise, right to the point. Okay? I want to play you more sound, especially a comment from Henry concerning, I said to you earlier, did anyone follow up and ask about, what about the perception of the GM job now in Boston? That ownership meddles, they get involved, they change GMs all the time. It's a long answer. I want to play it for you in a minute because there's something in there that I find peculiar. We'll get to that in just 1 second, but I do want to take a couple of phone calls. Andrew's in Melrose first. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, hi, man. So last hour, you went down this long list of hypothetical, you're going to drop this person, this person, this person, this person. It's going to free up all this money. But then you're also going to re-sign this person, this person, this person, and you're going to end up at 208 or something. But you're also going to have this huge hole of positions and players, and who are you going to fill them with? Are they going to be minor leaguers? Are they going to be journeymen?
Yeah, Andrew.
I think they have to cut a whole lot more.
Okay, so, Andrew, this is the problem. This is the problem. They want to get the payroll. Really, the threshold is 208. They say they want to get under. That's not 207.9 because you need to leave room there for money that you're going to add during the season. So this year, they started around 240, I think, and probably get to 245. I think you're going to start at least 200. I don't think you can go to 203, 204. I think that's too close. So you got to get down to at least 200, call it. To do that without spending a lot of money in free agency and no minor league system, it's going to be a neat trick. So I just told you, I think, and I think Betts or Martinez, one of those guys is gone, if not both. I mean, they're in a bit of a bind. They also said they don't think that 2020 is going to be a bridge year. Now, we can define what a bridge year is. But they expect to contend for my guess is a playoff spot. I don't know if anybody pushed them on the definition of a bridge year. But they intend to be a playoff caliber team, or at least they want to pitch it that way because they have tickets to sell, as we all know. More importantly, they have interest to peddle. They want you to believe in the team. Let's go to quickly, Dave in Maine. I just ask everyone, if you could, try to get right to the point. There's a lot going on tonight with this media gathering over at Fenway. We do want to play a lot of the sound. There are other people calling. So I just, if you can, try to be quick. Dave's in Maine. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Tony, so you've already said a couple times, you know, I don't know if someone asked or I wish someone asked. And I guess today was, you know, just a pre-selected crew. But I'd really love if you guys could get, like, a Marshall Hook, Byron Barnett situation. Like, maybe send Matt McCarthy to some of these things and, you know, just feed the questions in his ear. Great questions that you want to know. And I want to know them, too, as a diehard, you know, Red Sox are far and away my number one in the town. I want to know the answer, too. And
okay, so, yeah.
Either they don't ask great questions or, you know, I want to know the answers, too.
Okay, so I got you, Dave. And again, it's always easier to do when you're not sitting in the room. Believe me on that. In this case, they had a day to prepare, so hopefully they had, you know, questions lined up. And, you know, look, the question about the GM job and the perception of it from the outside was asked. In fact, I found the sound. So we're going to play it here for you in just a second. And let me just tell you that, again, this all happened within the last hour. So a lot of these questions may have been asked. And I'm planning to listen to it all on the ride home tonight. I'll be able to listen to the whole thing in its entirety. And maybe then I'll get more clarity in some of the things we're talking about. But in the immediate aftermath, we're doing the best we can. Okay. This is Henry on the role of ownership and basically ownership meddling and then the perception of ownership from the outside entering this GM search.
We've had varying levels of involvement. Involvement usually is determined by the situation or where the club is, where the club is heading. I would say that I've been...
Jimmy, can we pause right there? Okay, so again, Henry says we've had varying levels of involvement depending on where we've been. What do you mean? Like, again, is that just as... That just thrown out there as a vague general answer and nobody follows up. Well, give us an example. Do you get more involved in big contracts or do you get more involved in the farm system? When do you typically get involved? Is there a specific instance? So I would like to know some of that. You know, and again, I know what it's like in those things. You don't have a ton of time. And so not everything gets answered. And sometimes it gets answered in a follow up. Anyway, this next part to me is pretty revealing. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I would say that I've been in baseball now 21 years as an owner, and I've had three general managers. I guess I'm not counting our interim in our first year here because we got here too late, really, to hire a general manager. I've had three in 21 years, and only one of them was did I or we replace.
Stop. Huh? What? I've had three general managers in 21 years, and only one of them did I replace. So is he saying Theo wanted to leave? They didn't replace Theo. Theo left? Is that what they're saying?
I interpreted it that way. Theo was out that September in 2011.
So Cherington is the one they've replaced, and what, he's not counting Dombrowski yet?
Because they haven't replaced him yet.
Okay, so like I look at that and say, well, wait a minute.
And even though he disagreed with him after the World Series, he didn't want to replace Dave Dombrowski.
Okay, so Jimmy, you raise a good point there that they had a philosophical disagreement with Dombrowski after the World Series on the direction the team should go in, and yet they signed Nathan Eovaldi for 4 years and $68 million, and then worse, Chris Sale in the spring, 5 years. Even though you were philosophically opposed to what Dombrowski wanted to do, you throw out two big contracts. So that is one that you do. You look at ownership and go, well, what the hell? If you should have gotten in his way then, if that's what you felt. But they didn't. So, of course, then someone like me sits there and starts saying, well, what's ownership meddling for? So I don't know. Maybe they feel like they can't win it, but I look at it and say, well, what are you doing? It is your team. Step in, prevent them from signing a bad deal. And that's not second-guessing. The Eovaldi thing was a mistake from the beginning. Okay? But we've only replaced one. Well, they inherited Duquette and fired him almost immediately. Mike Port is the interim GM that they're talking about, so fine. I suppose if you want to say Theo left, but I would still say, why did Theo want to leave? Like, that's one you need to examine more closely. You can't just say that's not on us.
Technically, he quit twice. Theo quit twice.
In 05 and again in 11. So I guess he's saying Cherington is the only one we've replaced. So in any case, again, as Murray said, word salad or euphemism, you will have had four general managers in 8 years. Whether they left, you replaced them, you didn't replace them, or you fired them, whatever. It's going to be 4 and 8 years. That's a bad look. Keep going, Jimmy.
So I don't feel like that we're, you know, I think that we take our responsibility very seriously, and we always opt when we can to have whether it's a general manager or manager here as long as possible. We don't look to make changes willy-nilly. I think in this case we were unanimous that we needed to make a change, and but I don't feel like that we're going through general managers.
Okay, so again, he says changes willy-nilly. You know, I don't feel like we're going through general managers. You kind of are. And more importantly, even if you don't think you are, the rest of the world does. So look, I get it. I get it. I don't like treating the GM position like, again, as I said to Murray, like it's the number four starter in your rotation. We'll sign this guy to a 3-year contract, $7 million per. When he's done, we'll get another one. Because we might need something else at that point. With your GM, I don't feel that that's a good way to go. So I want to get back to your calls. We got a couple of other things to get to, including we're going to announce the winner of the drawing for the trip to Aruba. That was a result of the trivia contest we did on Tuesdays here in the latter half of the season. I will do that a little bit later in the show, but I do want to get to your phone calls. We'll do all calls in the next segment. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Maserata show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it's funny. I look at it as we've had three general managers since 2004, right? 2003, right? So I look at it as we've had three general managers in 17 years, right? So I don't look at that as not that we count, but we have been successful bringing in a general manager from the outside, and we've been successful by bringing in someone internally. But I consider, look, we all know Boston is an incredibly great sports town. It's also very demanding, and we want to be excellent year in and year out. But I consider this position to be the most coveted, or one of the most coveted in all of sports.
So that's Tom Werner's assessment of the GM position. Again, the Red Sox trying to paint a happy face on it. Go ahead, Murray.
That's just an aside. Do these two know how to hold a microphone? Every one of these clips.
Yeah, there's unusable sound. That would be good quality because they're futzing around with the microphone. It's like they have a lavalier, which is the one that they pin on your shirt.
Sure.
And they're just moving around.
Sorry, that just annoyed the hell
out of me. No, don't worry about it. It's the radio guy in here, but go ahead. What about the message, Murray? What about the message?
I think it's the most obvious thing is them talking about how they want to get under the $208 million tax threshold. Betts is gone. They're going to be a worse team next year. They have no clue who the general manager is going to be. And that's just one year. It'll be a bridge year regardless, like even if they brought Theo Epstein back. But as of right now, they have no idea who the GM or head of baseball ops is going to be. They're afraid to offend anybody in the process. The way that they both talked about Dave Dombrowski, like, that's not their real feelings about Dave Dombrowski. We know that. The way it's been reported on, and, you know, it was Dan Shaughnessy writing about it, you know, now months ago, they were sick of him. They thought he was a smug, inclusive, arrogant know-it-all. Did you get any of that today? They were afraid to say anything.
So,
like
look,
that.
Mario, here's the one thing I'll say, that if they rip him on his way out the door, ooh, that's tactless. I've done it before. Okay, so now this is what I was about to get to, and it's a good point. That it's one thing to say in a press conference, look, the guy did a good job for us, okay? But when the mics turn off, then don't go smearing him behind his back.
Yeah.
Like, it's you know, if you're going to paint, if you're going to give a positive message, look, it was time to make a change. This happens. It's pro sports. But we really don't have anything bad to say about him. It wasn't, you know, it just is the way it goes. You know, we like Dave. He's going to end up somewhere and all good. But now don't go rip him behind his back like they did with Francona and even Theo. Right, like, you know,
I just think this whole thing today, and the fact that they don't have cameras there, which is weird, and it's like handpicked media again, kind of like it was for this David Ortiz thing a couple of weeks ago. It's just, I don't know. They want everything. They always want to come out smelling like roses. They don't know how to handle these situations. They trip over themselves time and time again, and today was just more proof of that.
It blows me away. Look, now I sound like a freaking an old guy. I sound like John Henry, just saying he's owned a team for 21 years. I've worked in the media in this town now for, 30 years, I think it is, or close to it. You know, covering teams really earnestly for 25 anyway. And I still don't understand why teams just don't tell the truth. I still don't understand it. Just tell the truth.
Especially here. Do they think people are that dumb?
And when I say tell the truth, I'm not asking you to rip the GM as he leaves.
Just be straight.
Right. Hey, look, you know, we didn't have a great year. It wasn't going to work out with Dave. Philosophically, we didn't agree with where we were going. You know, he wanted to keep sort of pouring resources into it. We felt like we were reaching a crossroads. And so, you know, we're going to go in a different direction. It's better for everybody this way. Boom. End of story. You're not spitting on the guy on the way out his door, out the door or any of that. I want to get to a bunch of calls. Jimmy, can we go to 50 here? Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. So we'll take your calls for the next little bit. And, you know, I mean,
you could just tease calls and come back at 50 and go right through.
No, I'd rather take some calls now. These people have been waiting a long time. So, John's in New Hampshire. John, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
Glad to hear. Does Major League Baseball still have the 10-5 rule?
Yes.
Any chance we could trade David Price?
So, John, David Price has only been here, what now? Is that 4 years, Jimmy? 4 years. So he's not eligible yet to block a deal. At least not here. The bigger obstacle with Price is the contract. So now, again, remember, the Red Sox have a money issue. And when I say a money issue, they want to be under the tax. They get all the money in the world. But they have a budget issue where they're going to set the max budget at about $207 million. They don't want to go over $208 million. So to trade Price, they'd have to eat money. So now you're paying someone who's not on your roster, and you already have to get rid of maybe Martinez and Betts. That's just asking a lot. Now, if you want to tell me you want to trade Price and keep Martinez or Betts, sure, but you need pitching on top of it. Mike's in Boston. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Maz. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say that John Henry today and what he said was revealing. Dombrowski, he's a merc. He came here, he depleted the farm system just like he did everywhere else. And today when they were saying, oh, well, we had philosophical differences, they're just backpedaling. They created the monster. They knew what he was going to do when he got in here. And then they just want to give him some blame, but not actually say it.
Well,
and
so Mike, yeah, yes.
Spot.
So Mike, I'm going to let you go just because, again, I got a lot of people I want to get to. So I just ask everyone to just try to make your point as quickly as possible. You know, it's okay to bring in a guy who's a mercenary who's going to take you over the top. That's fine. I think Jimmy's point, Jimmy Stewart, our producer's point, is far more salient, which is that you had a disagreement after the World Series. Henry gave us a timeline. They philosophically recognized that they were going in opposite directions after the World Series. Yet they signed Nathan Eovaldi and they signed Chris Sale. I mean, you're talking about, what is that, $220 million that you just shelled out? That you let a GM sign that you were philosophically opposed to? I mean, that's a huge mistake. Hard to blame Dombrowski for that one now. Dan's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Tony. And forgive me if you've already covered this before, but I wanted to ask if you've ever talked about Damon Oppenheimer from the New York Yankees. For years, he was on people's list, but not allowed to meet with teams, and it doesn't look like casting's going anywhere. So what do you think of him?
So I don't know a lot about Damon Oppenheimer. He's an assistant GM with the Yankees, for those of you who don't know. Tim Nehring's name has also come up. He's working for the Yankees. But neither one of those guys has experience as a general manager, and the Red Sox said today that they want an experienced GM. Tom in a car. Tom, go.
Okay. First of all, that guy 2 calls ago, give me a break, saying Dombrowski's a monster. The dude come in here and won a World Series within 2 years by dealing those prospects. Show me what those prospects are doing right now.
Tom, he said merc, which I think he means mercenary. So, and on that, I don't disagree. I don't think he said monster, but go ahead.
Okay, sure, mercenary, but the guy did the job, so maybe ease up on him a little bit. The bigger problem, Tony, you said earlier, and I'm nitpicking, the Eovaldi signing was not as bad as the Sale signing. You said the Sale signing was even worse. I disagree. You look at Sale's FIP, you look at his Sierra, his swinging strike rate. Even if he gets to Tommy John and misses 2020, he's got a much better chance of living up to that contract than Eovaldi does. You went out and you signed Eovaldi 4 years, $68 million. What the hell has this guy ever done in a couple of good games in the playoffs? Look at Charlie Morton in Tampa Bay.
Okay, so again, I don't want to go all the way down the road and start comparing him. Just leave it at the Eovaldi signing was a mistake. It was. If they signed him for $8 million a year, $10 million a year, I'd have been fine with it. I said on the day it happened, 17 is outrageous for a guy like him. Absolutely, positively stupid. Quickly, Eric in Jamaica playing. You got to go fast.
Yeah. I love the show. Honored to be on the final one of this season. Listen, you seem like, listen, I don't love everything that this ownership does, but you seem to be complaining about the look of the three GMs in 21 years, yet I don't know which decision you would have changed, assuming that we don't know exactly what happened with Theo.
Yeah, so Eric, look, and don't, you know, I sense you hesitated a little to say, you know, I'm complaining. You can fire away. It's okay. Don't worry about that. It's part of the deal. So I do. I complain a lot, and it's not the three GMs in 21 years. It's the 4 and 8. So again, I have no issue with the Theo era other than the fact that they let him go. I don't have any issue with the Theo era. And then Cherington, you know, I felt like was getting a little too passive. I was surprised when they fired Cherington, but Dombrowski was available. My bigger concern now is that they're treating the GM position like a temp job. Like you're a temp. You come in and be the GM of the Red Sox for 3 years, you sign a contract, and then you move on and we get someone else. My concern is about the perception of it and that they've lost their way with regard to long-term philosophy. They don't have that anymore, and that comes from your GM. They need someone running that baseball operation that is invested in the future. Dave Dombrowski was not invested in the future. He wasn't, and he acted like it. Now, again, they knew what they were getting when they brought Dombrowski in. That's fine. But when I look at it and I say, man, it's going to be 4 GMs now in 8 years. 4 GMs in 8 years. You can paint it as 3 and 21, you know, but that's ignoring the the trend, the recent trend. And Henry should know all about that, right? Given how he handles money, he understands the importance of trends. The Red Sox GM job has become a volatile position. That has to change. You can't keep going that way. You're just not going to get anywhere. Just quickly, big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years is Big Y. You know who's pitching tonight for the Orioles? You remember that no-name bum who nearly pitched a no-hitter against him? Asher Wojciechowski?
Wojciechowski, yeah.
Yeah, he's pitching. You know what the Red Sox collection of players is against him? And I say their roster? 6-46. So it's all of them against Woj tonight.
Is Wojciechowski going to break some basketball news tonight?
Exactly. He'll be tweeting from the mound, Jimmy.
Of course, no relation to actually Adrian Wojciechowski, low ball too.
So we'll announce the winner of the trivia contest and wrap it up with your calls and thoughts on the final installment of the Baseball Reporters next.
The Baseball Reporters, Tony Maz, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So before we get to a couple of other things, let me just say, as you know, on Tuesdays on this program, for those of you who listen on Tuesdays, second half of the season, we did a trivia contest. We got a few laughs out of it. We had four winners, meaning they got a $100 gift card, and they were entered into a drawing to win a three-night trip to Aruba at the Tamarind Aruba Resort, courtesy of the Aruba Tourism Authority and travel courtesy of JetBlue. We put those four names, I don't know if Kelly put them in a hat or a bucket.
We'll say a hat.
Okay. But she conducted a drawing, Kelly Anderson, our promotions director. She picked out a winner, and so congratulations to Jake from Natick, one of only four qualifiers. He has won the Trivia Tuesday Grand Prize. Again, a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, travel courtesy of JetBlue. Thank you to the Aruba Tourism Authority for offering up the trip. Thank you to JetBlue for the travel, and thanks to all of you for participating. 617-779-0985 for Adam Jones, who's coming up here in a minute. So if you want to talk about any one of a million things, Jones will be happy to take your call. There's a couple things I just want to get to. One, we play sound from time to time on this station that is sent in to us by Johnny Miller of WBZAM. And there's been a lot of talk about awards and honors here in the last 24 hours. Johnny, to me, is one of the great stories. Johnny was born with cerebral palsy. He's been covering sports and reporting on sports in Boston for almost 50 years now. I think he started in 1972 when he graduated from BU. He was inducted into the Massachusetts Broadcasters Hall of Fame today. So our congratulations to Johnny. And for those of you who don't know who Johnny is, and again, he has a speech impediment, he has cerebral palsy, but we play a piece of audio on the Felger and Maz Show all the time that features Johnny prominently. Jimmy, go ahead.
Are you panicking, Johnny?
Yes.
So that's David Ortiz asking Johnny if he's panicking because the team is...
Are you panicking, Johnny?
Yes.
What was that, 2015, I think?
Sounds right.
Yeah, the best part about it is that the space and time is Johnny making sure he gets the microphone back to him so you hear him answering yes.
And if you know Johnny, Johnny was never afraid to, like, you know, sound the five alarm bells in April because the Red Sox were about to be a disaster. Okay, so congratulations.
Are you panicking, Johnny?
Yes.
Oh, I just said that's a great one. I do. I love that one. Adam Jones, before we get to Murray's, what Murray wanted to do was a farewell. Just Adam Jones, quickly, what are you doing?
Oh, well, I was gonna come in here and raise up the Marconi. Where is it? We were all gonna take a lap around with this thing like we won the cup in here. That's what our candidate.
I think it's being featured prominently in the lobby.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Well, that's nice. We were gonna raise it up here tonight, really celebrate, drink some beers out of it. But I guess we're not gonna do that tonight. We're gonna start with Patriots and Bills. It's gonna be an Antonio Brown safe space, we think, tonight, unless there's any, updates on Antonio Brown. But we'll start Patriots and Bills. Some thoughts, predictions on the game. We'll get to Kyrie as well.
Okay, so we've told you here on the Baseball Reporters, the rule of this show is we go only as long as the Red Sox go. Their season ends on Sunday. We don't broadcast on Sunday, so we end tonight. This is it. The last couple of months in particular, really since the trading deadline, Murray, how would you describe
that? Yeah, that was the true line of demarcation. The trade deadline, nothing happens, and those gutless pukes came out and then just basically waved the white flag and gave up.
I mean, it was brutal.
Yeah.
And the last few weeks have been tough.
Yeah.
Right? To the point where, Murray and I have felt that we've been incarcerated. I mean, is that a stretch?
No.
Really, it's been a bit of a grind here. You can only do so much with what the team gives you. So Murray was trying to come up with what would be a nice way to say farewell and how he feels about the end of the baseball season in particular. And
is this a poem, Maz? Are you going to end the season with a poem?
No, no poem.
Oh.
No poem. It's really just a one-word thing, but... Again, this is how Murray feels, and I should say it's pretty much how I feel. We thank everyone for listening, and we'll send you off with this. Freedom!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.